Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So if you want to follow along, you're welcome to pull out the Pew Bible to page 333. My young friends, if you want to see the pictures from the Children's Bible, you can come join me up front. But otherwise, I'm going to read from Bible Stories Every Child Should Know, written by Kenneth N. Taylor, illustrated by Jenny Brake. It's the same one that we used last year, and it definitely was transformative for us. And so I am going to share the story of Ruth. Out of curiosity, does anybody know where the book of Ruth is located in Scripture? Old Testament, absolutely. And I always tell my friends, if you don't know where a book of the Bible is, go to the table of contents and it will show you the book of the Bible. And where it is in our Christian canon is very close to the book of Joshua and Judges, like that early history of God's chosen people. And so I'm going to share this story with you. During the time that judges ruled Israel, a man moved his family from Israel to the land of Moab so they could have food to eat. His sons were married, each married a young woman from Moab, and they all lived there for about 10 years. Then the man and his two sons died, leaving his wife Naomi alone with her two daughters-in-law. Now, Naomi wanted to go back home to the city of Bethlehem in Israel, and her daughters-in-law started the trip with her. When she told them they should go back to their own homes, they cried. One of them, Orpah, went back to Moab, but Ruth didn't want to leave Naomi. "I'll go with you," Ruth said. "And live wherever you live. Your friends will be my friends, and your God will be my God." So Naomi let Ruth come with her to Bethlehem. One day Ruth said to Naomi, "Let me go out to the fields. I will pick up grain dropped by the workers." She knew that one of God's laws said that people with fields were to let poor people pick up any grain that the field workers left. And they could take this home to make food. So Naomi said Ruth could go to the field. So Ruth found a field belonging to a man named Boaz and began picking up the grain that his workers left. When Boaz came out to the field later that morning, he asked the man in charge, "Who is that young woman over there?" "She is the one who came with Naomi from the land of Moab," the man replied. So Boaz went over and talked to Ruth. He was kind and told her to stay with his workers. When she was thirsty, he said she should help herself to as much water as she wanted. And he told her to sit with his workers and eat the lunch he put out for them. And Ruth thanked him and asked him why he was so kind to her. And Boaz said it was because he knew about her kindness to her mother-in-law. He knew that he had left her family and the land where she was born. She had come to live among the people of Israel to worship God. Now Ruth stayed in the field until evening. Then she took the grain, she gathered, and she carried it home to her mother-in-law. Naomi was happy to see how much grain Ruth had brought. She asked Ruth, "Who had let her pick the grain?" And Ruth said, "The man's name is Boaz." Naomi was surprised because he was from her husband's family. So Ruth went back day after day until the grain was all gathered. And one day Naomi said to Ruth, "Boaz will be working with the grain tonight." She told Ruth to find Boaz, and she told her what to say to him. And Boaz certainly worked hard that night, and after a big supper, he laid down for the night. And when it was dark, Ruth went over and spoke to him. And around midnight, he woke up surprised that she was there, and he was like, "Who is it?" And she said, "It's only me, sir." Then she said what Naomi had told her to say. Because he was from Naomi's husband's family, Ruth said she wanted him to marry her and take care of her. And the idea pleased him very much. May the Lord bless you, my child, he replied. He said he would gladly marry her if he could, but first he needed to make sure it was all right with another man in Naomi's family. The next day, Boaz talked with the man, and he told Boaz to marry Ruth. So soon, 10 city leaders in Bethlehem learned about it. All of them prayed that the Lord would bless Ruth and Boaz. And Naomi was happy when Boaz married Ruth. She was even happier when the Lord gave them a son, and they named the baby Obed, and they loved him very much. And so did his grandmother, Naomi. And one day there would be one even greater protector who would love and care for the people and shelter them under his wings forever. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. So if you read, it is not a long story, but it is a rich story. So will you pray with me as we expound upon it a little bit? Gracious and most holy God, thank you. Thank you for stories of unexpected kindness, particularly the story of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. Let us hear what you would have us hear this day. May it strengthen and encourage us to live our lives differently. In the name of you, O Lord, and our Son, your Son, Jesus, may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So if we focus solely on the very first chapter of Ruth, we did read the entire story today, obviously from a child's perspective. But if we focus on the first chapter, it really is about this relationship between Naomi and her daughters-in-law. Now, Naomi had obviously been from Bethlehem. That is a town that is familiar to us. It is the town from which Jesus is born. It is the bread basket of Israel. Bethlehem does have meaning in its name. But she had left her home, her family of origin, to live with her husband in Moab. And that was quite a distance away on the other side of the Sea of Galilee from her hometown. And so she had gone there and she had born two sons. And those two sons married young women from Moab. And does anybody remember what those daughter-in-law's names are? Ruth and Orpah. Yeah, some people want to call her Oprah. It's not Oprah, I promise. It's Orpah. And so these are her two daughters-in-law. And we aren't certain what the circumstances were that caused the death of Naomi's husband and both sons. We don't know. But it was obviously unexpected. And what happens when the patriarch and the sons pass away? Well, then you have a widow. And the widow is to be tended to by the community, right? So not only do we have Naomi as a widow, but we also have these young women who are also widows. And so Naomi was really taking into consideration the needs of her daughters-in-law, right? Orpah and Ruth, and said, you will be better well cared for. I have nothing to offer you. You should go home to your families. And so, but what did they do? They cried, right? They did not want to do that, but they did start this journey back to Naomi's hometown. But eventually Orpah did decide to leave and go back to her family of origin. But Ruth made a pretty unexpected decision, and she says very clearly, I will go where you go. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. When we say words like that, that's a pretty significant oath. That's a pretty significant promise to make to someone that really she had no legal responsibilities to. And yet, whatever that formative time was where she was married to Naomi's sons, Ruth obviously had developed a very important relationship with Naomi. Right? That I'm sure that having left her family, that this became her family in all intents and purposes. And it really made me, you know, think a little bit about our own families, right? That sometimes we have our families of origin. And does everybody know what I mean when I say families of origin? It's the ones that you are usually birthed into. For some of us, we don't know that because we were maybe born and adopted into another family. Or maybe we were born into a family of origin, but for whatever reason, the relationship between parents disintegrated, and therefore you weren't necessarily familiar with all of that. And then maybe some of you do have deep-rooted family connections to your families of origin. But what I'm trying to say is that none of our family dynamics are the same. None of them, you know, can read, you know, in terms of how one might expect. And I would be curious if those who maybe have joined in marriage and maybe have relocated with their spouse. Sometimes we hear some good stories about mothers-in-law, and then sometimes we hear some not so good stories about mothers-in-law. Am I right? Ideally, hope. Elise is like, yep. And sometimes it makes it hard, right? Because maybe we're living into family expectations, or there's a certain way we're supposed to be, or we don't quite fit in because we come from a different way of interacting or communication, or maybe we weren't the choice that mom would have made for their son, right? And there is no winning that dynamic. And yet, obviously, in this situation, Ruth really did meet all of the hopes and expectations of Naomi. And Ruth made a commitment to her. And there is this thing called adoption into the family, right? That there was no tangible legal obligation, and yet it was one that Ruth made, and it really touched the heart of Naomi. Now imagine losing your son and your two sons and your husband, the grief that would have existed there, the isolation that would have been part of that dynamic. That would have been really difficult. And yet Ruth was willing to be in that space with her. So they travel back to Bethlehem, and then the story continues about how Ruth is mindful of their social status as being widows and poor and not having tangible things, and then enters the story of Boaz, right? And Boaz returns the unexpected kindness to Ruth and Naomi because Ruth herself had demonstrated unexpected kindness to Naomi. Now, what's important to know about the trajectory of the story is that, yes, Ruth and Boaz do end up married, and they do give birth to a son. How many of you have opened up the book of Matthew and looked at the genealogy of Jesus? Yeah, I would encourage you to do so. Open up to the first chapter of Matthew. Oftentimes in the Old Testament, particularly in Genesis and Exodus, whenever there is a genealogy that says, and such was born, you know, born of two sons and became the father of, and, you know, from generation to generation, it's a shift in the narrative. It's a shift in the trajectory of God's story of salvation, and it is significant. And most of the narrative genealogies that are found in the Old Testament are all for fathers and sons, because we recognize that it was a patriarchal society and that most of the time women didn't really have a lot of value other than to be property and married to bear children. However, when we look at the Gospel of Matthew, there are four women that are listed in Jesus' genealogy, and Ruth is one of them. Because Ruth was adopted Naomi as her family and Boaz, Ruth plays a significant role that leads ultimately to the birth of Jesus. Imagine if she had just walked away, right? So sometimes these unexpected familial connections really do have future impact for families, for communities, for relationships. But what does that mean for us, right? Because I don't know your family's story, but I do know that we all have a different story. You know, I can think about what it was like to have multiple family and them being able to trace all their genealogy and hopes and dreams. And it brings me to probably one of the biggest points of today's story. It's this idea of family. And it's not just the earthly family of the one that we may create or be a part of or wish that we had or maybe whatever the dynamic is. It's more importantly about the family of God and the adoption into God's family. And for my kids who are busy coloring, we've talked about this. The way that we become part of God's family is how. Through what? Landon, do you know? What? Baptism. Absolutely. It is through our baptisms that we are incorporated into the family of God. And it doesn't matter at what age we are. It can be an infant where parents are making that promise, or it can be kids. And I know in the next few weeks and couple of months, we're going to have kids that are going to be old enough to remember their baptisms. And I know that there are adults that are going to remember their baptisms and the importance of being adopted into the family of God. Because ultimately, we are all children of God. And sometimes we remember, sometimes we don't. There are those who aren't even aware that they matter to God. We are here because we've gotten a little bit of that inkling through the grace of God that there is something about this relationship that is so incredibly important. Right? This growth in relationship. Choosing who our God is going to be, just as Ruth chose Naomi's God to be hers. And they say that friends are the family you choose for yourself. Right? The ones that will encourage you and strengthen you and give you a swift kick every now and then if you're not getting things right. That will speak a word of truth to you. And this is what our community is intended to be. One that embraces us, accepts us as where we are, and loves us enough to not leave us where we are. To speak a word of encouragement, of strength, and to give us a good swift kick every now and then if we're not following the path that Jesus asks of us, right? And this is not a family that is closed off. Is there room for others in our family? Hello? Yes, there's always room in this family because ultimately God wants all to be in relationship with God. And it would not have happened had we not had Ruth make a pretty mature, heartfelt decision to stay with Naomi, to go where she would go, to claim her people as her people, and most importantly, to claim Naomi's God for her own. Today, we are reminded that we all are called to claim the one true God as our own. To see ourselves within this family of God with all of the dysfunction and excitement, right? Like, it is tough living together. And yet, we know that God's grace is sufficient to help us in this shared life together. And so, friends, I want to remind you of your place in God's family, of God's love for each and every one of you, and the desire that we don't keep that to ourselves, but actively share that good news into the world, that our family may grow and expand and bear truth to the grace of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.